We are going to move into our scripture reading. Today we will be reading from 1 Corinthians 2. I have asked Joshua to come and read. We will first read from the NRSV, and then I will read it again. You'll hear it a second time through the version of the Message.
When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? We have the mind of Christ.
And to drive it deeper into your minds, you'll hear it again. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's sheer genius, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who He is, then Jesus and what He did, Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground, but it's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of His purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest, what God determined as the way to bring out His best in us long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what His eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on a cross. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this, never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love Him. But you've seen it and heard it because God, by His Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand, personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to start out this morning with a question. How do we as a church seek direction from God? There's a lot of ways that we could answer that. Maybe at times leadership has some kind of burning bush experience with God and feels directed in a certain way to pass that leadership and that direction on to the people. It could be that we see something that Mellinger's is doing or Victory Church is doing and saying, that inspires us, we should do that as well. Maybe it's we're consistently following the pattern we're on, but we're seeking direction how to modify as necessary. Maybe it's reacting to situations and trying to repair the damage or plug the holes. Maybe it's trusting in our life training, our education, our work experiences to give us wisdom for how to run the church. Maybe it's in praying and seeking the Lord's voice and direction. Often it's all kinds of a mixture of this for various churches as they seek direction. Starting today, we want to enter into a season of discernment over the next couple months. Not that we don't always try to discern God's voice, God's direction, God's good news for us. But just to more specifically ask some questions, like at this era of our church life, at this season, what is our identity? Like, who are we as a church? Who has God formed us to be today, 2024? What do we have to offer to ourselves and to the world around us? How should we be organized to follow the call of God in these days? And so we want to take some deliberate, prayerful time over the next couple of months to sense the Lord's leading in these ways. For one thing, it's just, whether it's personally or as a church, it's healthy periodically to kind of stop and say, where are things today? What does God seem to be saying? Where is my life? What do I have to offer today? Where are we headed as a church? For the elders too, as we've talked over the last number of months, it seemed like an opportune time to have a more specific conversation about this and prayerful conversation. For one thing, in the spring, like is typical for the elders, it's a time to identify and ask individuals to serve in various leadership positions. And in recent years, there's this discovery that there needs to be some creativity in how we maybe redefine these roles and how we call people to fill them. Maybe it's a team of people, maybe it's an individual, so forth. Maybe we need to just rethink that particular role. But it seems like, especially recently, it's a little more difficult to fill some of the roles because our median age is increasing. And just thinking, do the structures we've been following, is that still the best structures for how we carry out ministry here? So that raises some questions about if there's any readjustment that needs to happen. Also, in the spring, I attended a breakfast It was hosted by Parish Resource Center and by Everence, and it was called Adapting for More Fruitful Ministry. And it was led by Don Hackett as the speaker. He's going to come and share with us. I'll speak a little bit more about that. He'll be here next week. But it was good information for me, good inspiration for me present there, just to think about what season I'm in life and what season we are in here at Whitmer Heights. And just thinking about how we clarify our understanding of who we are today, our present circumstances, rather than who we were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. How might the Lord be leading us and forming us today? Maybe it's a good time to talk about that and get new direction and inspiration. So again, on behalf of the elders, I'd like to invite us to join together in this discerning adventure over the next couple of months, where we really open ourselves to hear from the Lord. And so just to kind of step into that or prepare ourselves for that, I just want to share some thoughts today. Discernment. It's a word I think I don't know if I ever use it outside of church. Is that in your common vocabulary, or does it feel like a church word? That's where I mainly use it, I think. But it's a way of judging between things, especially a perceptive way of seeing. You're kind of opening yourself, your vision, your listening to try to sense things, to hear things. And it especially has this, the idea that somehow God is directing this or leading the way and revealing things, kind of like what our scripture said today. So it has a lot to do with seeing and hearing in a spiritual sense, opening ourselves up to hear and to see from the Lord. To not only to open our eyes and ears to God, but to hear from each other, to look at life, to just get a greater sense of what's happening, how God's moving, what life is like today. So just want to make a couple observations from 1 Corinthians 2. Just overall, I picked it because the whole chapter gives this sense of God speaking, God's revealing mysteries, the Holy Spirit's active to make these things come to light for us, if we would only see and hear and listen. Paul starts out by saying, it's not with eloquent words that I'm trying to reveal or convince you of these things. It's not my words, it's the powerful message and the reality of the gospel that's gripping your hearts. God's speaking and you're hearing it. What no eye has seen, I think this is a quote from Isaiah, but what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, these things God has prepared for those who love us. These are the things God is revealing to us by His Spirit. If you'll listen, you'll hear through Jesus, through the Jesus story, what Jesus accomplished. You'll see and hear what God's doing. And then he goes on to say, the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit is everywhere, including the Holy Spirit knows the very depths of God's heart, you know, the very depths of God's purposes. And the Spirit is not shy in wanting to speak those things to us if we, again, would open our ears. So these things that we speak, they're not taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. If you don't have the Spirit, you can't hear and understand these things. And just to clarify, it's not like some people are born with or have some kind of a higher ability to be in tune with the Spirit. It's all about having faith and trust and listening and setting aside our own will to hear the will of God. So it's just an act of the heart to open oneself up to Christ and to His Spirit, that these things will begin to make sense and we'll hear them. So Paul's talking a little more in a general sense, like the good news of God, how God's purposes of redeeming all of creation and loving you is being made very clear through Jesus. What we want to get a sense of as a congregation right now is how does that specifically apply to who we are today? What does that mean as far as how God's shaping us and how God's leading us in times to come? So as we're trying to hear God's purposes and God's direction, there's certain attitudes about seeing and hearing that I'd like to encourage for us. And I want to share three attitudes that we can carry into this. One is that we really would trust that God speaks and that God will reveal things to us, that it isn't God's desire to keep things a mystery, and that God is very willing to speak into our hearts. And I just want to share a couple scriptures. In Acts 17, Paul's there in Athens, and there's a pedestal for an unknown God, and he's trying to explain this God that they don't know yet as the God of creation, the God who sent his son Jesus. And so he says God created all of us. He set us in our place. And he says the purpose of this God is that the nations would seek after God, perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. So again, God is near at hand. If we would just reach out, if we would just look and listen, we can find him. He's not far from us. And it's his desire that we would live and move and have our being in him, and that he would direct our paths. And in James 1, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. God gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. Again, God's generous in wanting to speak and guide and share his purposes with us. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the waves. So really believe, trust that he will speak to us. Another attitude is to approach this with humility and surrender. You know, be open to hear from God and to set aside or relinquish your own will, your own sense of what should happen in your life or in the church. It's not about in prayer or in seeking saying, God, I have these great ideas. Please rubber stamp them and affirm what I've already concluded. You know, rather, I want to set aside what I might think is best, to truly hear from you. This is a quote. Oh, it's on there from Richard Rohr. Try to stay with us. Most people do not see things as they are. They see things as they are. Meaning most people don't see things as maybe as God is designing or has in mind for us. They see things as they are. They see things as they would, as they have been formed to see them. Not maybe seeing the bigger picture of what God has in mind. So we want to be people who see things as they are in God's view of things. Not just as we see things and we understand things and we want things to be. So just that whole idea of God, not your will. I'm sorry. Not my will, but your will, oh Lord. So we're listening with attention. We're listening with sensitivity. Everything can become an encounter with God. In everything, God can reveal himself. And I found this quote by Father Thomas Green. I think I'll quote him in a little bit too, but everything that happens to us, everything in life, everything we do is a revelation of God to us. God can be seen somehow in everything, he says, but not every revelation by God is a genuine encounter with him. So God might be seen in everything, but if we're not looking, if we're not listening, if we're not aware of God, we'll miss that encounter. So we want to be a people more attentive to notice God day by day in everything. And then the other thing, this is again from Father Thomas Green, God always works in peace and slowly. So as a as a priest, as he counsels with and mentors people. He asks this question, how do you feel about this when you're most at peace? Or when you are at prayer and quiet and most open to what the Lord wants, what do you sense God saying, or what do you sense is the direction? You know, when you feel most at peace, when you feel closest to God. And he said many of the people he has conversation with, they'll feel it at peace in that prayer or in that reflection with God. When you step out into life, it might be really challenging to hold that conviction because there's things that want to come against that. But think back, where does there seem to have been peace about some kind of a conclusion or a direction that you felt has come from the Lord? Again, we always want to test this with others and test it with scripture and so forth. But in Acts 15, the people are, the church in Jerusalem, they have this big decision to make. Some of these missionaries like Paul and Barnabas are reaching Gentiles, and the Gentiles really don't want to be circumcised and go through all the dietary laws and all that. And so they have to make a decision. What are we asking of these new believers who are not of the Jewish background or Jewish faith? So they came to a decision. They searched scripture. You can see scripture quoted there. They were praying together. They sensed the Holy Spirit moving. And their conclusion was, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond these things. But it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. We came to this sense of peace. Like, this seems right. As we've looked at scriptures, we've prayed together, we've come to a place of peace. And this is what we want to offer to you. So just to think about that as we're seeking the Lord's will. So here, if we're going to embark on this together somehow in the next couple of months, to just be working at a process to get a renewed sense of who we are and how God's leading, want to just suggest and challenge you or invite you to these two ways. These two daily activities, spiritual activities, to develop your sense of hearing and seeing. And if we're all developing this, then we pull that together as we pray and as we talk together. We're much better situated to be a discerning group together. So the two things are this. One is to every day try to look for, keep your eyes more open, be more attentive and expectant that you'll see God in everyday life. And I'll suggest some ways, but as you do that, what I found helpful is if I tell somebody then, if I talk to April or, every other week we have a video chat with friends in Virginia, and I told them what I was thinking, what I wanted to share today. And they said, so what, how did you see God today? And it kind of caught me off. I haven't thought about it actually. But with some reflection, I could then answer. But just to have that greater awareness, how might I be seeing God, in my day to day? It might be in a personal encounter with another person, an interaction with them. It might be in scripture, that something in particular from that scripture you read really seemed to jump out and speak to you. It became an encounter with God. It might be in beauty, but it also might be in brokenness. Seeing Jesus in the brokenness or in people's struggles. The least of these in this world, can we see Jesus in them? In thankfulness, in generosity, when we either have given or received mercy, when we or someone is in pain and somehow finds the strength to endure and see through that pain, in conviction or repentance that might fall upon our hearts, in promptings or insights that might rise up within us, especially as we're more attentive to God, in hunger, physical hunger, or hunger for righteousness. For me this week, a couple ways that I recognized God in my daily life. One is, in reading scripture, I'm reading through Esther, and there's one place where, her Jewish people have been condemned to death. She's a Jewish queen. Her uncle says, you gotta talk to the king. But she knows if she's not invited to talk to the king, she can be put to death. He has that kind of power. She asks for prayer for 3 days. She goes to see him, and it seems like even before she even presented herself, he welcomed her in. Just this, to me, it felt like this amazing act of faithfulness of God to insert himself into that situation to bring about his favor. So anyway, saw that. Yesterday, seeing a wife care for her husband, when he was in a very vulnerable and helpless position, but her, helping him through that. There was one point where, I was trying to be prayerful, as I'm suggesting here, and I was outside and this breeze picked up. And for whatever reason, the words to the Keith Green song, "Rushing Wind, Blow Through This Temple," and I can't think of the next line, but "Holy Spirit, come and move in my life" is basically that prayer. But that became a prayer or an encounter with God in that moment. So this can lead us to pray every day. Lord, I'm looking, please reveal yourself. I want to see Jesus in my day today. The other thing, and with all these, we want to be patient and gracious with ourselves, especially if these are new ways of incorporating spiritual practices into our life. But the other is listening more intentionally in quiet or in solitude, just creating some quiet spaces. I'm glad Merle picked that first hymn today, talking about that silence. And I think there, if I remember the song right, it was more like silence because we're in awe of God. Like we can't even speak. We're awestruck with God. But also just this, the ability to create quiet, just to acknowledge God's here with me. In our busyness or our frenetic activity, we forget God's with us. So partly that we're creating space where it's just you and me, God. I want to acknowledge you're here. You're part of my life. And maybe even in one way or another, I'll hear from you in this space. And so from, again, my experience this week is, and again, I'm not in any way a perfecter of these things, but I, in that silence, I felt it was helpful for me to say, at one point I said, God, I need to relinquish these thoughts or struggles that I'm having about my life. I just want to hand that to you and speak a better truth to me in the midst of that. God, I thank you for my church. And in all these things, what I found helpful is not to then go into great detail. Thank you for my church. Not go into every detail of everything going on within the church, but here's my church. And maybe you'll speak to me and reveal things and in whatever way, just want to raise up my church to you. It might be naming a circumstance in life. This is what I'm dealing with, God. And then again, not going into a deep analysis, like where you're just speaking to God, but just in that silence, give that situation to him. And maybe in one way or another, he will speak or give a sense of calm or direction. Raising a question. God, I wonder about this. What's happening here? We're just raising a question that we let it sit there in silence. Reciting a scripture and letting that just resonate with us. So in whatever way maybe it's not complete silence. Maybe we're offering something up to God, but it's not going in. At least for me, I found like I needed to just step back and stop thinking or talking and analyzing this in great detail, but give it to God and have some silence around it. Trust that God's with me in this space, and that as we spend more and more time in this kind of quiet space, I think I'll get more attuned to God and maybe hearing somehow God's promptings in the midst of that time. So, seeing God in the midst of every day, creating some silent space. I've tried to set aside 15 minutes. I started that this week every day to try to do that. So, just to give a little more detail, when we think about what maybe we want to get a deeper sense of, one is God. What's our guiding identity as a congregation? I was like, who are we? If someone came to you and said, describe your church. What's one thing about your church? And you might say something that really captures who we are in one way or another. Getting a sense of what our identity is, how God has shaped us up to today, in a way that might even become guiding. Like, this is who we are. This is what we want to live out. So secondly, what strengths do we have to offer? We can't do it all, but how does God seem to have especially equipped and shaped us that we bless each other, that we bless the community around us or the world around us? What is it in particular that we want to pay attention to that is a strength that we have to offer? Thirdly, how should we prioritize then our focus or our efforts to fulfill this calling? Like, do we need to somehow reshape what we give priority to, what we give our time to, how we shape our ministry so that we can really carry out what we feel God calling us to, in a renewed way? What does Whitmer Heights look like in the future? What's served us well in the past, but maybe needs to be let go of at this time because it doesn't seem to fit what God seems to be revealing to us as our identity and strengths. And then we want to use natural church development to help us discern things. Natural church development is a way to reflect on ministry, and it's in eight. In natural church development, they say there's eight essential qualities of a healthy church. I don't have a slide of this, but and all of these have an adjective. So it's loving relationships, it's empowering leadership that empowers, it's effective structures, it's gift-based ministries. We're doing things as we're gifted. Need-oriented evangelism. We see the needs around us and step towards them. Inspiring worship, passionate spirituality, and holistic small groups. So, we'll have opportunity to answer questions of a survey that would begin to give us our self-understanding of where we're at, how strong we are in all those things. Now, for a big church, they might take that and say, okay, we have all these different ministries, so this gives us information about how to strengthen all those different ministries. For us as a smaller church, it's just a way to look at how we've described ourselves and say, okay, we can see here what are our strengths, who we are. So it's just a way to help us, again, identify us and know what our strengths are. So next Sunday, Don Hackett is going to be our guest speaker. He's been giving us direction as an elder team, and he'll kind of coach us through this process. Don lives locally, retired pastor, and he'll be here to speak in adult Sunday school and in our worship service just to give us more inspiration in this process and further direction. But the idea is by November, we want to have a gathering together and around tables to be able to talk about this, and share so that anything that's, determined is coming from below. It's coming from our conversations, from our prayer, instead of leadership saying, this is what we're doing. But it's in our discernment and listening and praying together, you see what begins to emerge and what we can take and walk through together in the future. So just an understanding of what's coming ahead. And, you know, without prayer, without trying to be discerning in our hearts, we could set all that aside, and we have some pretty good wisdom here. We could go through a process and make some pretty good determinations of who we are and where we're headed. But we want it to be infused with the Spirit's direction. We want to hear from the Lord. How are you shaping us? How are you calling us forward in the times to come? So as much as we can nurture that discerning heart within us and then do that together, this will be, I think, a really blessed effort. So may God bless us as we move forward in this. Feel free to talk to Jonathan or me or Jan. We've been on the elder team who's talked through this. The newer elders are going to get up to speed this week on where we're headed. But feel free to talk with any questions. Let's pray together. God, we praise you and acknowledge you as the God who desires to reveal yourself, your purposes, your redeeming love, your saving grace. And even more particularly, how we are to walk out our faith, how to be a fruitful church for the kingdom of God. And so, have your way, direct us, show us the way, reveal how you are moving and working among us. And, we trust you completely. So guide us and strengthen us for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.